Morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio station. We're about a half hour away from Fight the Empire. Today, host Per Fogering discusses the options for Greece in the future and how that relates to the future of Europe. At 10 o'clock, it's Chris Andre hosting Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. And then at 10:15, Flashpoints, reaction to the Iran nuclear deal from journalist Robert Perry, a look at Israel's renegade nuclear program and why it's not talked about in the U.S. press. And we take a personal look at the implications of the Iran deal for Iranians in the U.S. and Iran. And at 11 on Between the Covers, host David Naiman speaks with local writer Lydia Yuknovich about her new novel, The Small Backs of Children. That's all coming up right after Press Watch, news you're not supposed to know with Teresa Mitchell. And that is coming up next on KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 17th annual Pickathon, July 31st through August 2nd. Pickathon is 3 days and 7 stages of performances by a variety of bands such as Tune Yards, Shabazz Palaces, Ty Segall, Leon Bridges, Freakwater, and dozens more. Pickathon takes place at Pendarvis Farm in Happy Valley and features weekend or single-day tickets, as well as wooded camping, food trucks, and local beverages. A full list of artists, stage schedule, ticket prices, and transportation options can be found at KBOO.fm/pickathon2015.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know, giving you the tools to destroy billionaire rule. So much to talk about, and got a few minutes to do it, but I want to talk about some things with you, and one of those is transgenderism. Why is it so scary? There's reasons. There's reasons. Trans people like me are frightening. More frightening to some than to others, to be sure. And so I'll get around to that in just a moment, but I want to get to some news items. First, a Fukushima update. Shout out to Barry. Yeah, I got the sample and forgot my Geiger counter. I'll try to do that next week. This from Fukushima Diary. TEPCO announced they have measured 1 million becquerels per square meter of strontium-90 at 2 locations in the Fukushima plant port. That sounds like a lot. Well, it is. That's a hell of a lot. That's a frightening amount. I don't know why I'm laughing. This is the highest reading in recorded history. The sample is the port seawater. And by the way, TEPCO is supposed to, TEPCO would like you to believe that all that's going to stay in the port because, you know, water doesn't go into the sea from the port. It just stays in the port, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Yeah. So, and they write that the sampling date for that million becquerels per square meter was April 5th of this year, and the location was near the water intake of reactor 3 and 4, and also the screen of reactor 4. The previous highest readings were substantially lower, but still obscene, 700,000 becquerels per square meter. TEPCO has not made any announcement on this rapid increase. And other reports from Fukushima Diary. If you want to pull that up yourself, by the way, it's fukushima-diary.com. The underground ice wall still has not managed to actually freeze. After 2 months operation, it's just not working. The most recent robot sent into reactor 1 died after recording 10 sieverts per hour of radiation, which is enough to kill a man within a few minutes exposure. During the Chernobyl crisis, the Russians discovered that their robots wouldn't work either. And so what they did was they organized literally an army of people to work for a few seconds at a time, like 30 seconds, to clear the roof of the reactor. They approached via a tunnel. They were all severely irradiated. It was considered a national sacrifice. It was the probably the final blow for the Gorbachev regime and the end of so-called socialism in the USSR. But returning to Fukushima news, deaths and illness from Japan are expected to begin in earnest next year, because we know that from Chernobyl. 5 years after Chernobyl, the deaths and illnesses started to crank up because it takes a while for the body to react via tumors and organ failures to irradiation, to the uptake of radioactive material, two different things. Yahoo News reports 14 dead humpback and fin whales since June to be tested for cesium, but apparently not for strontium radiation. Dead whales continue to appear on California and Oregon beaches, and in possibly related news, debris from the tsunami in Japan, which set up the whole crash of the reactors, the nuclear meltdown in China syndrome, is washing up big time in Alaska, so they're shipping it to Oregon. That'll take care of it. In other news, Greek Prime Minister and Syriza leader Alexis Tsipras secured the backing of Parliament early Thursday for the savage program of austerity Tsipras agreed to with Eurozone officials last weekend. Obtaining passage of the program was never in doubt. The legislation was overwhelmingly approved by a vote of 229 to 64, six abstentions. Three openly pro-austerity parties, New Democracy, PASOK, and Topatami, supported the Syriza government's bill. The no vote included MPs from the Communist Party and the fascist Golden Dawn, along with 32 Syriza MPs. Outside Parliament, there was growing anger over Tsipras' treacherous deal. This is Chris Marsden, writing in World Socialist. Demonstrations were also staged by Antarsia and anarchists. Fairly large protests as the parliamentary debate got underway. Government deployed riot police who fired tear gas and Molotov cocktails. Excuse me, they fired tear gas as Molotov cocktails were thrown at them. Those attacked by police included members of Syriza's youth organization, but within the parliament building, Tsipras secured the votes of his right-wing coalition partners, and they sold Greece down the street. And let's see, returning to the article. Prior to the parliamentary session, rumblings of dissent were evident. House Speaker, who voted against the government last Friday, was removed from the chair at Tsipras' request. Deputy Finance Minister Valavani resigned her cabinet post. So it's just a mess in Greece. And as I was reporting last week, the former military government is rumbling rather loudly. And we know what they do. They perform coups, and they have in the past. And so although Greece's capitulation, shocking as it is, has delayed a coup, I would say there's still a strong danger of that. It's also delayed the collapse of the derivatives payments. And if you look at the situation generally, and this is just me speaking for myself, there isn't any real benefit for the Greek government to continue with the IMF and the European Union's and the European banks program. They're going to get deeper in debt. They're not going to get anything out of it, really. The benefit is that payments continue to be made on these on these loans and the derivatives which extend from the loans. Derivatives which can be toppled, and as I was saying last week, these derivatives are gambling on gambling. They're gambling on whether the loan will be paid. They're gambling on whether someone else gambled on whether the loan will be paid, which sounds extremely bizarre, but that's the way it actually works. And I have some more news items, but I would like to ask for your calls about the transgender issue. I would like to talk about transgenderism. I am a male to female transgender person and live as a woman. The latest Fox News attack on transgender persons popped up in the last week pretends to find a horror in the state of Oregon. Yes, right here, as 15-year-olds are heading to the operating table for gender reassignment surgery. Did you hear about this? If you don't watch Fox News or know someone who does, you probably didn't hear about it because it's not happening. It's not real. But the faux news segment, Oregon allowing 15-year-olds to get state-subsidized sex change operations, is the name of it. Quotes a rabid religious anti-sex education activist here in the state of Oregon. And a completely outdated science study. And then it combines state health care guidelines, which do allow transgender consultations and possible surgery, with the potential emancipation of youth. Kind of put it all together here. You can, you know, 15 years old, given this, whatever situation you're in, it is possible for a 15-year-old to be emancipated and to live as an adult outside the influence of the parents. So put all this together and, you know, add the emancipation of youth to gin up a false anti-trans scare campaign. So you're supposed to believe that, you know, 15-year-olds are getting surgery. They're not. This is not happening. Then, of course, to give it all the patina of legitimacy, they turn to the last crank in the AMA to deny against all evidence the benefits of transgender surgery. That would be Paul McHugh at Johns Hopkins. And he will totter before the mic. He's just, you know, he can barely utter his pronouncements, but he's still ticking. And ta-da, another faux news report. So in recent years, Fox has also turned to a hate group. And when I say a hate group, I mean they're designated as such by the Southern Poverty Law Center, the Pacific Justice Institute, to run with their claim that adult trans women were exposing themselves to girls in gym lockers, walking around, you know, aroused, is what they say. And, a terrible thing has been reported from here to Canada, and it's not true at all. It never happened. But Fox never retracted those reports, even after they were shown to be false. They repeated them and talked about them as if they were true, but then when they were shown to be false, they did not retract them. The Pacific Justice Institute will back off on them, but so what? They've, you know, gotten some real mileage out of that. So the end result is that people remember such stories and believe that they are being oppressed by transgender people or somebody somewhere is, and, you know, that alligator in the sewer is going to get you. So Pacific Justice bigots have launched an initiative in California against the alligators in sewers. No, they've launched an initiative to build on their success. So here's the text. Ready for this? Notwithstanding, provision A. Notwithstanding, and you know it's serious when it starts with the word notwithstanding. Notwithstanding any other provision of law, a person shall use facilities in accordance with their biological sex in all government buildings. Section B. A civil claim for violation of privacy shall lie against a government entity or a person for willful violation of this section. Such claim includes equitable relief and damages up to a maximum of 3 times the amount of actual damage, but in no case less than $4,000, and attorney's fees that may be determined by a court. A claim is limited to individuals whose privacy was actually violated while using facilities or who did not use facilities because of a violation under the Act. Subsection C. Notwithstanding, they're getting off to a real good start here, any other provision of law, no business establishment shall be subject to criminal, civil, or administrative sanctions or civil suits for requiring employees, patrons, students, or any other person to use facilities in accordance with their biological sex. Definitions. Number one, biological sex means the biological condition of being male or female as determined at or near the time of birth or through medical examination or as modified by Health and Safety Code 103425. You can't make this stuff up. So, basically, you can be challenged using the John in California if this passes, and you'll need your birth certificate with you to back it off. And if not, well, you're subject to lawsuit. and no one shall be prosecuted for denying you the ability to, well, relieve yourself. So I'm asking for your calls. I wonder how you feel about these stories, how you feel about transgenderism. Do you have questions about transgenderism? There's a joke, meme, a cartoon that I put in Facebook under Press Watch, by the way. I actually do have a Facebook account. First name Press, last name Watch. And it shows the ideal, or you know, the ideal transgender person, which has a little sign saying, "Please ask me about my genitalia." It's just a joke. And I am kind of, you know, within FCC guidelines, I'm kind of here to do that because, you know, I'm a very public person. And some things just need to be explained. I certainly sympathize with my fellow transgenders, all 700,000 of us. Remember, there's 300 million people in the United States, so this is a very small number indeed, really. But we exist. I sympathize with those of you who are getting real tired of explaining things. God knows there are places and times where I just, you know, don't want to bother. But it needs to be done because there are these hateful memes out there. The bigots are grabbing as much television time as they can. They have access to faux news, and they're going to use it. And it does have an effect. So I'm here. And the number to call is 503-231-8187. That's 503-231-8187. And so let me be more specific. What I want to hear from you is, what have you observed in terms of transgender discussions, people talking about, you know, what's going on? Do you know anyone who's taken in by this Fox meme? Does anyone talk about that anywhere near you? I know that people are talking about it. I was on a Occupy Facebook page and talking with people about it. And there was an interesting discussion. And there are a number of people who just seem determined not to get it about transgenderism, who want to think that transgenderism is just the latest, you know, liberal give in, I'll think of a better word in a minute, the latest liberal setback for people who just want to indulge themselves with cosmetic surgery and who are just weird, and we're all supposed to be all very accepting of weird people, and that sort of thought. I'm here to counter that, of course. Transgenderism is a natural human condition. It's happened all throughout human history, and I'm a little different myself. I'm chemically altered. Who knows whether I would have been transgender anyway, but I do show the marks of a particular type of chemical alteration, and I know that my mother took a whopping dose of it, so I was affected in utero. I'm that kind of transgender person, and there probably is a small increase of transgenders as a result of that drug, which I received in utero in 1957. It's called diethylstilbestrol. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187, and Harry's on the air.
Hey, good morning, and thank you for taking my call. About 2 weeks ago on PBS, they had a special about children getting, transsexual children getting medication and operations. Did you ever see that?
I did not.
Okay, well, it was about 2 weeks ago, and these two teenagers, one was 13 and one was 14, and they were telling about their lives of what they were going through and how they wanted to have a sex change.
Uh-huh.
But at 13 or 14, most people were thinking, are they too young for that? They're still going through puberty, and it didn't seem to be right that their parents relented and allowed them to have this done to them.
All right. Well, I haven't seen that case, but I will say, when you get to your teenage years, and I'll speak from my own experience, you know what gender you are in the same sense that you know which direction gravity flows. And so it is possible through the what used to be called the Harry Benjamin guidelines and is now called something else. I keep forgetting what the new name is because I'm getting old, I guess. There is a protocol, a rather extensive protocol, for determining whether a person is actually transgender. And probably, you know, without seeing that program, probably what actually happened is that these teens received hormones that allowed them to delay the transitioning that occurs during puberty. So if I had had these hormones or hormone blockers, actually, then I could have waited a few years until I got out of high school before before I transitioned. Actually, I waited until I was 43 before I transitioned because of the shame that had been inculcated into me, and because I knew, you know, what a fight it would be. So I'm not, you know, this does not raise an alarm for me. This is medical science, and you know, when medical science comes to you and says you need your appendix out, you don't say, or your kid needs your appendix out, you don't say, well, this kid's too young to decide. It's not a matter of the kid deciding. It's not an arbitrary decision. And when people call it a lifestyle choice, that's what they're saying. They're saying that it's an arbitrary choice and an illegitimate choice. For example, when you break your leg, you have a choice. You have the right to refuse medical treatment, but you won't, because there's a great deal of pain, and because people are used to fixing broken legs, so they won't even bother to ask you. They'll just fix your leg. They don't say, have you considered the ramifications and the costs of actually setting your leg? It's considered a completely legitimate medical decision, but people aren't used to the fact of transgenderism. It just simply happens, and we now know from actual autopsies from dozens of transgender persons who have, and some who have and some who did not have hormones, that the brain is different, physically different in transgender people, and that it reflects female characteristics in the case of male to female. It reflects male characteristics in male and female to male. And so these things can be determined by a competent authority, medical authority. And, you know, of course, there's quacks somewhere. Mm-hmm. But I just doubt that there's any substantial number of kids. You know, kids are not, kids do not want to change their gender unless they are that gender.
No. Another question is, you said how to biologically test male from female. Usually it's the X chromosome and the Y chromosome, X for female, Y for male. So if they came up with a drug that would reinforce your X chromosome or your Y chromosome, would you take it?
You mean so that I could transition better?
No, to transition back to what you're, if you're an X chromosome or a Y chromosome.
No, why would I destroy my gender?
Oh, but this would, oh, well. Okay.
You mean that it would turn me male? Why would I do that?
If that's what you were born.
Well, okay. I'm so glad you're asking these questions. I really am. Let me explain this again. In the first place, XX and XY does not determine female and male. It is most likely that an XX person be female, an XY person be male. However, there are exceptions, notably Jamie Lee Curtis, who has always been a woman, who is genetically XY, because gene expression is not the same as genes. And these gene expression is something that's been discovered just in the last few years and is very important. And that is exactly what has changed in the case of diethylstilbestrol mutants such as myself. My gene expression is changed by the addition of this chemical into the womb. And so instead of coming out the female that my brain configuration makes me, my body came out male because that's, you know, that was the way the gene expression works. So I have female brain and male body. The correction for that is to, for those who wish to do so, for those who feel that this would be best, you know, after going through the Harry Benjamin guidelines, is to transition into the gender that I know myself to be. Gender is in the brain, so let me put it this way with a little parable, which I think works better for Americans generally. It has literally happened in the past that people have mistakenly been given surgery, not because their doctors were mistaken about it, but because they got switched on the operating table. How's that for a horror? So now imagine this had happened to you, and you'd been taken in for a gallbladder operation and come out altered for female genitalia. Would that make you a woman?
No.
No. You know you're a guy and that you'd been mutilated. So, you know, I'm making assumptions about the presentation of your voice, but I'll just, you know, let that slide unless you correct me.
Yep.
And I mean, this sort of thing just can't be altered that way. So when I get alterations to my body, I'm simply trying to correct a physical condition the same as I would get a gallbladder surgery. And the outcome is just as good as gallbladder surgery. You know, gallbladder surgeries go wrong, and occasionally gender surgery goes wrong. And there are occasionally people who revert. But if you really press those people, you'll find that their social conditions were so rabid that they felt that they could not take expressing themselves as a gender that they were not brought up as.
Okay. Hey, thank you very much. This is very informative.
I'm so glad you called in. Time is 9:25 almost. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Now, coming up on Fight the Empire, Parafogring is going to be talking about Greece in much greater detail. So you'll want to stay tuned for that. In the meantime, I am taking phone calls about transgenderism. If that phone call raised any questions for you, then call in 231-8187. That's 503-231-8187, and Rachel's on the air.
Hello, Teresa. I think you bring up interesting topics. I've heard you several times before. I had a friend who actually, she had a child and very feminine woman, and she decided that she would rather become a man, and so she went through all these hormone treatments. She had her breasts reduced to nothing, and she got all kind of stubbly, anyway, whiskers coming and real, almost looked like acne on her face, like a little bumpy face, and she kept going, and then all of a sudden, she decided, you know, that she didn't need to become a man, because she said, you know, just because I like cars and manly things doesn't mean I should become a man. So she went through all that physical, really, deformity in a way from what she was. And I just kind of blame psychologists.
Did she actually see a psychologist and go through the Harry Benjamin standards?
Yeah, she did. She had to get the hormones. She had to see a psychologist. So I blame the psychologist. Like, I kind of think that the man who implanted 8 embryos in a woman should be responsible in some way for the children. I mean, I think it's irresponsible.
Well, such a thing as doctors who make mistakes, and that's why we have an industry of lawyers who actually take them to court.
If we didn't have that ability like before, I mean, we just have to kind of live with our psychological weakness. We have to conquer things, you know?
Well, you're right. And before we could set broken legs, we had to live with them. They made some interesting zigzags.
They healed. They could heal broken legs.
No, they can't. Not without setting it. That's very artificial. Like, you have to pull out the leg. You have to splint it. You have to have a doctor set it just right. Otherwise, it doesn't heal.
Right, but I mean, they knew that in olden days, things like this. But things like this seem more, they're more psychological. You know, they're more in the heart and mind.
That's a pretty broad statement. They knew in olden days. I mean, certainly, I mean, there were Native Americans who had a protocol. It wasn't the Harry Benjamin standards, but they had a protocol for male to female, and such people were considered shamans, and they had a way of altering their genitalia as well.
They did, because, I mean, I've seen plenty of men that are like women, but they don't have to have, you know, surgery and hormones and all of that, you know?
What about people who need gallbladder surgery?
Well, that's different. That's physical, though.
But I was just telling you that it's physical, that transgenderism is physical. I just said over and over again, actually I've said it many times on the air, that transgender people have physically different brains from cisgendered people.
Well, yeah, but see, brains, the attitude, it comes from, you know...
No, you're just... You know, what you're doing is you have an attitude against transgendered people, and you're trying to make the details
really
fit your decision, which you've decided ahead, that you're just not going to be able to handle it. But you need to be able to handle it. I mean, gender, as we express it in the society, is quite false. It's quite exaggerated. And the way that we treat each other is actually a hierarchy of oppression, and being male, being brought up male, is part of that. That's something that I've learned, as you know, through transgendering. And being female is also, unfortunately, I mean, it's possible to allow this patriarchy to colonize your mind, even though you're the victim of it. And that's all I have time to talk about. I really appreciate you calling in. And stay tuned for more of the Radio Zine going out to you via KBOO.FM to all the ships at sea.
Attention KBOO members, you are invited to give your feedback on KBOO's draft mission and vision statements. Based on member feedback from the recent survey and member retreat, KBOO board and staff members created draft mission and vision statements. Now we want to know what you think. This is your chance to help define KBOO's guiding principles and priorities. Visit KBOO.FM to review the draft mission and vision statements and submit your comments. Paper copies of the draft statements are also available at the station. Comments are due July 17th. If you have questions, please contact Monica Beamer at monica@kboo.org. Thank you for contributing to the development of KBOO's mission and vision statements and for your support of community radio.
Thank you.